One, two, three, four.
There we are. Oh. I'm having to do this with a new setup, so I just want to make sure the mic's right, because the mic is now here. Yeah. I've got my like shield and everything for that I've bought, so I actually have a proper like home studio now.
I'm currently talking to you in a cat bed.
A cat bed? Oh, lovely.
What is that?
Oh, hang on. That is...
Come on.
Right,
Sean,
I'll tell you. That was my previous... Tell. Right.
Oh, were you putting your duvet over your head?
Hang on. I'll get rid of that. That's a little stool for like when you change a light bulb and stuff rather than get the stepladder out. This was my previous soundproofing. It was a plastic crate with a pillow in it and another cushion there.
Yeah.
That was what I had. So now I can actually see out of my window.
Lovely.
And my JML dry buddy that you can see in the background there, the pièce de résistance, which in no way looks like a ghost.
What, is it a plug-in electric clothes dryer?
Yeah. But I've got a washer dryer, so I don't really need it. And I don't really tumble dry stuff anyway, so... Yeah. But this is quite good now, because I've got this proper desk I can actually plug. I'm still using all my bits of kit, so I can now play, even if the bloody laptop hadn't crashed. I've got my instant cart machine, so
yay!
I can buy all sorts of stuff in. So, yeah, I've got a whole mixture of things. I've got mainly... you know those that YouTube video of the bloke who, what is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal? Got a couple of clips of that. And also Mick, what's the guy's name? Not Mick McManus, the guy who's the commentator at Castleford.
Get him on stage. Yeah.
Oh, you get him on. Come on, Cass. A load of clips of that is brilliant. Oh, they don't like it.
He's off. He should be off.
Oh, you bottlers, get Campbell.
Yeah. Have you seen the succulent... He's touching my penis.
Get your hand off my penis. There's the bloke who got me on the penis before.
Have you seen he's still alive?
Is he?
I saw an excellent video with it. And it's like, the video was brilliant because it said, you'll recognise this guy halfway through. And he's exactly the same still. He's an artist. And he sits there and he goes, yes, I used to be a petty criminal fraud. But he's now an artist in Australia. It's amazing.
Hang on.
What is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal?
my favourite is this one.
Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest.
Oh, I love that guy.
I can't speak! Indeed.
Oh, man alive. Oh, have you seen another radio?
Don't put this in, for God's sake. No.
It's all just...
As well we know, yeah. Well, none of that's for the podcast, obviously.
No. We haven't started yet, mate.
Oh, no. Fair enough. I have recorded all this, but there's no point.
Oh, I've recorded it all as well.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm ever going to need to... either blackmail a person.
Yeah.
Oh, with what flip flop, born with flip flop.
With what flip flop, yeah. Yes. Well, I, for one, am very excited about the prospect of Boris Johnson leading the nation in its fight against obesity. I'm sure that can only end well.
would you like a cup of tea?
Biscuits. Don't worry, we're going to just put all the McDonald's. Adverts on after 9 o'clock. We'll gloss over the fact that there are so many jokes about whoppers we can make about members of the cabinet. We won't, and zingers that you could say. This is the thing. He's announced this when in the week they've cocked up again because they've announced this while Parliament is in recess. There are a number of actually half decent jokes that he could have put into Prime Minister's questions instead of the crap ones that he's written. Whoever's writing his jokes for Prime Minister's questions, I'm pretty sure is the same person that was employed to write Bruce Forsyth's jokes on Strictly Come Dancing.
Can you pricey this for me? Because the only bit that I've heard about it is they're getting rid of buy one, get one free offers on things that aren't particularly healthy. And the other bit I've heard from it is from astonishingly good businessman Jamie Oliver.
Well, irony of ironies, he was being interviewed on the BBC News channel this morning while I was in the gym, so I couldn't hear it because Homes Under the Hammer was on and I was listening to something else entirely. So I didn't see what he had to say, but I'm sure I didn't need to because I'm getting the gist and he'll be saying what a great thing this is.
I'm surprised Jamie Oliver even gave comments this morning because now I believe he's pushing his son to do recipes to try and look great and brilliant.
Is he?
He's got like 17 children and he lives in a big shoe or something. And now his son is doing recipes online. And my wife's watching them and I'm going, turn that shit off. Honestly, he's going, oh, I know what'll get me popular again. Pushing my kid to do some cookery. Yes, I love the creation of entertainment dynasties and shit nepotism. Fuck off.
Well, it's not as if we haven't got a history of that in nepotism in this country. But I mean, but no, I think one of the parts of it is that they're going to ban all junk food advertising before the watershed. As if loose women wasn't offensive enough having on before the watershed. I don't know whether that means that they can't have somebody going, did somebody say just eat before 9 o'clock? Whether I'm not sure whether that's now the thing either. I don't know. I just find the timing of this very... You know, when you're suggesting that we're going to ban anything that's buy one, get one free, where almost our only joy in this country at the minute is going into a shop to buy something, a news agent, and being able to get two chocolate bars for the price of one. That is almost, at this point, the only joy we have left. But the football's finished. Only for a matter of weeks. So now you've taken away the one thing we have got left. Just so the week, we can guilt us all into going back to the gym or into a swimming pool to work off the chocolate that we've just eaten. And you've taken that away now. You've destroyed it. That's another industry you've destroyed. The fitness industry.
But the timing's off as well in that you've just presided over 70,000 plus people dying of a pandemic that was managed like it was a 50th surprise birthday party. And then that, in turn, wrecks the advertising market for commercial radio and TV. And then you're now saying you can't advertise people like McDonald's, who are one of the biggest advertisers on both TV and radio. That is stupid. That is ridiculous.
What's brilliant about this is the fact that, even better, was the fact that the kernel of this idea... Colonel Sanders, which I can't say that word now before the watershed, so I'm sorry about that. I'm sure a fine will be coming my way. Is that the kernel of this idea came to the great Bojo while he was in intensive care?
It's a f***ing fever dream then.
Yeah, I mean, he could have been off his tits on morphine or something, couldn't he? I mean, so he's had this as if like that's what he needed to be aware of. I don't know what sort of situation he's going to need to find himself in to get a grip with any of the other problems in this country, knife crime, that kind of thing. I don't know.
When Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister, the First Lord of the Treasury, when he was released from hospital from intensive care from having COVID, have they now removed all the fucking mirrors from number 10 Downing Street? Because no offence, and I'm talking as an obese man, Boris is no Adonis.
No.
And if you look at him and Keir Starmer obviously takes care of himself.
Well, I mean, I think
Boris,
again, that's another word you can't say. Adonis kebabs are now, of course, banned under this new regime. Yeah, I mean, obviously, he thought that the games of wiff-waff and running over small children playing games of rugby and playing soccer aid once a year and tearing through people like he's Terry Herlock. obviously was exercise enough, or dodging questions or any kind of scrutiny.
He does do a lot of fucking though.
Well, he does a lot of fucking up. I mean, I'll say
no,
that.
No,
I mean,
he does a lot of shitting.
Yeah,
you know, to when your wife of 25 years is having chemotherapy and you can go off and tag someone else.
Was that his second wife?
I had no idea now.
He's had two wives, isn't he? I think
he's going for the Henry VIII.
Yeah,
and we all know what that divorce from Rome did for the world.
He's on his way. I mean, all it needs now is him to announce that he's got gout, and we'll be right there.
He's got to have gout.
Well, does this mean that what's her name? Carrie, is she now the what was the young wife that Henry VIII had? The young pretty one, Catherine. Was it Catherine Howard?
Yeah, Catherine.
Catherine Howard.
Catherine of Aragon, Anne of Cleves.
No, Anne Boleyn was the second
Anne Boleyn, Anne Boleyn, Anne of Cleves.
Well, that's obviously Gavin Williamson, Anne of Cleves, the one that you want to get rid of.
I can't.
Oh, no, Grant Shapps, isn't it? That's Grant Shapps, or whatever he's called this week.
Yes. Who is Grant Shapps? That was very good.
Well,
who is Grant Shapps?
It's like, who is Batman?
The artist formerly known as, what was he, Michael Green?
Michael Green and Sebastian Fox.
Why have so many pseudonyms if you're a kosher businessman slash politician? I don't understand having that many names.
Well, I mean, I think ostensibly what Grant Shapps was trying to do was effectively be Parliament's equivalent of Puff Daddy, P. Diddy, Sean Coombs, Sean John, Sean Puffy Coombs, Catacombs, Sean of any dignity. That's his other one.
That makes Gavin Williamson then Mace. Poor lad.
Well, I mean, I imagine he's not the only parliamentarian to have been introduced to Mace. But that's another story. Have them mentioned in the same breath as Gavin Williamson. I mean, I'm not being funny. If you're going to mention Gavin Williamson in terms of any other hip-hop group, then I think it's probably got to be or hip-hop artiste. I mean,
D12? They were awful.
D12.
Eminem's acolytes.
Vanilla Ice?
Snow.
Licky bum bum down. And that was one of, that's still a piece of government advice on how to protect yourself against the coronavirus. So, yeah, Grant Shapps is effectively trying to be that sort of equivalent. He's trying to be the sort of that sort of Svengali kind of figure. But, you know, his sort of purview only extends to the end of the A66.
So why is Parliament going on summer recess when we're in the middle of a global frigging pandemic? Why on what level does that make any semblance of sense when they've all just given themselves a pay rise as well?
Well, it doesn't, does it? It goes against any notion of any awareness or any basically care of what their public perception is.
And what's the point of having an obesity strategy when you've just told the whole country to go and eat out to help out?
Well,
what's the point?
I've got to this stage with the government where I genuinely thought this morning when that was announced, right, they're trying to, something's going to come in the next 12 to 24 hours, some terrible story, and they're using this to cover it, to try and deflect attention from it. I genuinely thought that's what they were doing. I thought what a sad thing to be thinking that automatically, if the government tries to announce something that they perceive as being, oh, it's good for the nation, and yeah, we could all do with being a bit healthier, there's no question about that, but announcing that now, I'm thinking, but what are they trying to hide? Yeah. What are they trying to cover up that they don't want us to know about? Is it the fact that now the Cabinet Office is now responsible for all of the information?
Oh, yeah. Data has been taken away from DCMS and given to the Cabinet Office, who is under the control of Dominic Cummings, an unelected official.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's getting very, very Orwellian, this now. It really is. I mean, he kept whittering on about, what was that book he kept on telling everybody to, something about
Revelations?
No, one a book of Revelations. No, could read that. No, the book he kept going on telling everybody to read, saying it's about a super forecasting. I want to say superconductors on either one.
Forecasting.
What really, actually, what he really, I think we should be reading is a sort of a reference book almost for this. It's probably 1984.
Or even better, George Orwell's Animal House.
Yes.
Toga.
Was it Animal House or Animal Farm? Am I confusing the
two? No, it was Animal Farm. There's a fantastic Twitter account that quotes people when they say, we've seen all of this before in George Orwell's Animal House. Animal House was, of course, the National Lampoon's film starring John Belushi.
Yeah.
And where Donald Sutherland was naked. Yeah, that's Animal House. But Animal Farm, two legs good, four legs bad.
I've never read it, but maybe that's that's probably a good thing.
But then there's also the apocryphal story that went around the city of Hull secondary schools. It was rumoured that the grammar school was shown Animal Farm, the film, but not the film of the book adaptation, but the heavily bestiality film.
Yes.
And it could have happened if you went to Hull schools in the 1990s. And saw a woman split in half by a Shire horse. Please let us know. topcontentpod@gmail.com.
Well, of course, there seems to be a lot of theories or, you know, urban legends that seem to emanate from Hull or seem to centre around in some way. Now, and the other one is the of course, the great story, and I'm sure you'll have to bleep this, but it's about a certain former television, children's television presenter, and do you know what I'm talking about?
No, keep going. I'm trying to work out who it is.
Well, a certain
this,
former
this is like, what's my line, but without aim and aim.
A certain former children's television presenter, and apparently who went to the Hull Student Union.
Yes, and the pool table.
And the pool table.
And the rugby team.
And the rugby team.
Yes.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I think that's true. Yeah, I think that's true.
Is it?
I'd love it to be.
Okay.
I always found her very alluring.
Do you know, I never did when I was a kid. Now, I do.
Mm. Oh, God, yeah. I think that's now the John McCarthy room. as in the guy who was kept hostage in
Beirut.
Okay.
What's the, is that a room in the whole university student union where they keep people hostage for years?
Yes.
Okay, right.
Yeah. I never went to Hull University, obviously, but I went to their students' union a lot between the ages of about 24 and 26.
Right. Okay. Can I just say that that could be, I never went to Hull University, could actually be a song by The Wedding Presents. It's absolutely good.
Oh, not the wedding present.
Not the wedding present. Half man, half biscuit. That's what I meant. Oh. Not the wedding present. Different band.
No, I was thinking. Yeah, the wedding present were one of John Peel's favourite bands.
Yeah. No, I meant half man, half biscuit. Yeah. If they can write a song about the Dukla Praga Away Kit, they can write a song about I never went to Hull University.
I've always admired how Hull is a great punchline in any sitcom.
Yes.
In any sitcom.
He went to one of the great universities. Oxford, yeah. Cambridge, Hull. And of course, that twisted on its thing is like, well, yes, of course, because Oxford's a complete dump.
Yeah. See,
Black and goes forth.
And IT Crowd as well.
Oh, what was that then?
When he goes,
may I take you to dinner?
Oh, I don't think I could.
In Paris.
Paris?
Paris, yes. It's the name of a new restaurant in Hull. That's right. We're going to Hull.
It's better done by Matt Berry. Yeah, it's a great punchline, Hull. Slightly proud of it in that way.
Yeah.
The missus has been watching all of The Office back to back, the UK Office.
Oh, okay.
And Hull's also a punchline there as well. I think Hull doesn't come to you, you go to Hull. Was it The Office or was it something else that we watched?
Yeah, I mean, of course, Liverpool doesn't know anything about being a punchline for anything. No, there's no comedy mind from Liverpool whatsoever.
No, but that's because everybody in Liverpool is the funniest person ever. No offence to you. Everybody from Liverpool is either a comedian, a musician, or a poet. It's like, fuck off all of you.
You're just describing Alexis Sale. That's all you're doing there.
I'm not at the level of Boris Johnson. Everybody in Liverpool is a grief monger, like Spartacus. I'm a victim.
Yeah, victim complex.
But everybody from Liverpool, oh, we're all poets. Oh, fuck off, Margie Clark. Honestly, really? Oh, it's because of the Irish influence. No, it's not. It's because of the North Wales influence. Your accent isn't Scouse because of the Irish. It's Scouse because of the North Wellian. That's where your accent's from. Bizarrely, it's like if someone from Wolverhampton somebody from Mold. That's what the Scouse accent is. Would you agree?
Yes, probably. Yes, I do. Because we were saying this because I went to Anglesey last week and it was absolutely lovely. And just for the day, it was beautiful. You know, obviously the Welsh language is a phenomenal thing, and the kids were asking about, you know, how do you. You know, how many people speak Welsh? And we said, well, it's, you know,
seven.
Several hundred. Seven, which is the number of vowels in each word in Welsh, I think, as well. But it is a very difficult language to speak. I said, but the North Wales accent, I said, is very close to Liverpool. I said, it's not like being in the Rhondda or, you know, Swansea or what have you. I said, it's a much softer accent. I said, people in North Wales, you'd struggle to tell that they were really from North Wales because it's still a slightly Scouse. There's a Scouse lilt to it.
There's a weird thing as well with people from North Wales in that their accents can sound slightly mid-Atlantic, but not to the point of sounding fake.
No, not like listening to Busted, for example.
No, but people
Son
from
of dog,
people
yeah.
from North Wales, people from North Wales can sound as if they're like half American, half English, but in a good way, not putting it on.
Not in a really affected way.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the same way that I can normally pick if somebody's putting on a Scouse accent. That's not normal. That's not how we sound. And I've struggled. Because, of course, when I moved to the Midlands, it was terrific fun. It was in the midst of, I mean, Harry Enfield has got so much to answer for absolutely ruining my childhood. All my mates thought they were comedians. And all they'd go is do the Scousers, which, of course, was such a ludicrous pastiche of, and completely in no way. I mean, this, you know, the only thing is the secret of great comedy is there is some truth in there. With Harry Enfield Scousers, there was none. With the possible exception of the Shell Suits, I would almost give them that.
Yeah.
But in terms of the amount of
house fires that happened on Merseyside in the early 90s was huge, mainly just from nylon on nylon.
Yeah, or, places up like a kite. I mean, it saved a fortune on electricity because we were lit by embers, really. But in terms of the Whigs, the way we would talk to each other and all the rest of it, it's like, none of it is even close to being representative of what being Liverpool is actually like. But of course, all my mates, and they'd attempt to do Harry Enfield's The Scousers, and it would, I can't even begin to describe the accents that would come out of their mouths. I just can't. It was like, calm down, calm down. I'm like, what is that?
The Scouse accent that people do is a lot harsher than the Scouse accent really is. The Scouse accent's very, it's like when people do Brummie and they're actually doing Black Country. It's like, no, that's fuck off. That's Wolverhampton.
That's Birmingham's,
but Birmingham's really quite calm. Liverpool's really calm. That's, if anything, Skelmersdale Warrington.
Warrington's an interesting one.
Yeah,
it's
nobody's ever said Warrington's interesting.
That's true.
Nobody.
but it's like if it's one side of the the Liverpool side of the Mersey, it's a little bit more Scouse. But if it's the other side of the Mersey, it's almost like such a clear delineation. Yeah. It's like no man's land. It's like being, you know, West Germany, East Germany. It's that where suddenly it's much more Manc.
And but then everybody goes into Mr. Smith's for some loving.
It's gone now, of course, Mr. Smith's.
Has Mr. Smith's gone? Has Churchill's gone?
Oh, I don't know.
Because Churchill's was opposite Mr. Smith's and it was this fantastic bar that had oversized sofas.
Oh,